Amen. God is good, eh? God is good. He really is. In Romans chapter 1, don't turn there, I'll just quote the scripture. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation for everybody who believes. That's an incredible statement. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. I'll say it again. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation is not just so we have a ticket to go to heaven. Yeah. That word salvation means to make us completely whole and free. And a result of that is we go to heaven. You with me? To make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Completely whole and free. That we can worship Him and be who He's called us to be. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So there is a requirement in a sense from our part, but it's just to believe. It's not to do anything, it's just to put our trust in it. And the gospel is about Jesus Christ. And I love what Malcolm at the end said about the revelation of Christ. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, many of you know this. It's who He is, what He has done, and what He continues to do. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So whatever He did here on earth, when He walked on earth, He continues to do. But He just does it through His people. So turn to the person next to you and say, that's you. That's you. It's through His people, through His church. He continues to do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has not changed. He's the resurrected King. He's the Lord. Amen. And there's a scripture in 1 John that says, as He is, so are we. 1 John 4, 17 or 18, I can't remember where. As He is. Well, how is He? He's the resurrected King, sitting in glory, triumphed over everything, as He is, not as He was when He died on the cross. As He is, so are we. That's good. Hallelujah. Wonderful. But it requires us to walk into it and to believe it. That, for me, statement is one of the most penetrating statements of the Bible. It's a penetrating statement. It's the power, it's the dunamis, because inherent in the gospel is the power of Almighty God. And that power alone is able to save the vilest sinner and transform the hardest heart without any human ingenuity, without any human help, without any human persuasion or anything. He's just able to save the hardest heart and the vilest sinner. Think of a man called Paul, or Saul, who became Paul, who persecuted the church and killed them. He would be a modern day ISIS person today. Going around killing people. And the power of the gospel got hold of him. Knocked him off his horse. Put him on the ground. You with me? The gospel is the power of God, people. It really is. It's the power. The truth is that we are utterly powerless to overcome our own sin. The sin that we're born with, we're utterly powerless. But Christ is able to not only forgive us of our trespasses and our sins, but to deal with our sin nature. Completely deal with it. I use this example before I actually get on what I want to say. This bottle of water, if I throw it up and it comes down, why does it come down? Help me. Yes, all right. You've all, okay. So no matter what happens, I throw it up, it comes down. That gravity is like sin that we're born with. It tugs on us 24/7. It pushes us into decisions and into lifestyles before we knew Christ that we were not able to help ourselves from. Because it's always pulling on our life. Now if I take a bird and I hold the bird and I release the bird, the bird flies. What happened to gravity? Still there. But the bird is empowered to work against gravity, or the bird is empowered to not allow gravity to pull on it. The water bottle is like you and I before we were saved. The bird is like you and I after we were saved. God has empowered you by His Spirit and by the blood of Christ to no longer be captive by sin. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? You're free to fly. Yes. You're free to fly. Gospel is an amazing thing. The power of God unto salvation. But God doesn't only leave us there to get us saved, to go to heaven. He wants us to mature and grow and become sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we can carry the weight of His glory. So we can carry what He wants to do in and through us into a dying world. Are you with me? And so I want to talk a little bit today of what it means to nurture the seed of revelation. Because revelation changes us. Revelation is where God opens up the eyes of our hearts to receive a truth from Him. We initially receive Jesus Christ, but there's an ever-increasing, growing, and awareness of who Jesus Christ is. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, C-O-L, I don't know how to spell the rest of it. He didn't plant that church. There's a man called Epaphroditus that actually started that church. And he came back and reported to Paul about these people that got saved. And Paul writes the church to Colossae. And primarily that letter is about the supremacy of Christ. Yes. It's about how He's rescued us. That word rescue is not a passive thing. It's not a, come here. It's, I've rescued you from the dominion of darkness and put you in the kingdom of My Son. I've qualified you, it says. I've qualified you to be the family of God. Yeah. And he goes on from chapter 1, verse 15 to explain who this Jesus is. That everything was made by Him, through Him, and for Him. He's the head of all things, over every principality, power, rule, authority. He's the head of the church. He's the King. He's the Lord of all. It's that person that has saved us. Yeah. You with me? And he goes on to say, now that you rooted and established Him, you need to continue to grow, to flourish, etc., etc. And that's what he's talking to him about. And so we need ongoing revelation. We desperately need ongoing revelation of who Christ is. We need His Word to open up to us and become alive to us. Otherwise, it's just words on a piece of paper, like I'd read in a newspaper. But this is the Word of God. It's live, it's active, it's a double-edged sword. It has dunamis power in it. It has power to change you. It has power to change the way you think. When you got saved, you got a new heart, but you didn't get a new mind. You with me? So you can know you're saved, but you still think like you're unsaved. You still think like you used to think. And God said, no, don't think like that anymore. Think like this now. Think like how I see you, and you're with me. And it's a process of the mind getting renewed. It really is a process of believing and trusting how God sees us and not how we used to see ourselves. The devil's very good at reminding us of our past. Very good at that. And yet nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say, look back. The only time it says look back is to what God has done. Look back what I've done. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've done. Nowhere else does it say look back at your faults or your sins. It just says, look up, look forward, look up, look forward, look up, look forward. Just follow me. But the devil wants to keep taking us back. You with me? So we desperately need revelation. I believe Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 onwards is one of the greatest prayers you can pray every day of your life. God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation, very simply, is this. Sorry, I'm using this water bottle. You cannot see this water bottle, but it's here. And no matter what you do, you cannot see it. Now that gets taken away and you say, oh, that's a water bottle. That's quite simple. Oh, yes. But now, what do you do with it? So you need understanding to come how to use what God has shown you. That's part of the revelation process. So there's two parts to it. Hello? You with me? Let me ask you, how many of you've read this verse in the Bible, then you read it again, and all of a sudden it like comes alive to you? How many has that happened? That's revelation coming to you. That's God opening something to you. And you get on the phone, you phone your husband or your wife or your friend or your uncle or your aunt or whatever. You know what? I was reading the scripture. You can't believe it. You know what? And you're so excited. And the other person says, oh, that's nice. It's not revelation to them. We need that ongoingly in our life. And the beauty about it is God wants to continue to reveal things to us and show us things. Because revelation changes us. It's not information in my mind. It changes me inside. It changes my heart. It changes my attitude. It changes the way I think. It changes a continually process of changing. But all revelation comes in seed form. Comes in like that. So how do I take that God shows me, how do I get it in my heart? How do I process it in here? Because if I can get it in here, it'll change me. And all you have to do is believe. That's all. You don't have to do anything else. It'll change you. Because that's what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to be a good Christian. I'm not trying to be this great person. Without revelation, when we desire to grow with God, but we don't, revelation is not coming, this is what happens to us. Three things can happen. Legalism comes into our life. And the legalism is just a big word to simply, it's the attempt to achieve a right relationship with God by observing rules. So I begin to put rules in my life. Don't do this, Ken. Don't do this, Ken. Don't, because God doesn't like this. God doesn't like us. Stop this. So I put rules in my life. Or we put rules in the church. Hello, you with me? Or carnality comes in. Carnality is just trying in my own power, trying in the fleshly nature. I'm trying so hard. Or apostasy. And apostasy is just a big word for means I take some truth and I pervert it. I take a central truth that God has revealed to me, but I skew it. So it doesn't carry all. And when we have legalism or carnality or apostasy entering into our life or into the life of a church, you'll find theology will be exalted above revelation. There's nothing wrong with theology. Theology is just the study of God. But it's not changing me. Or intellectual education above revelation. And intellectual education, there's nothing wrong with that either. But it doesn't change me. You understand what I'm saying? Or psychology above discernment. Or a program above the leading of the Holy Spirit. Or eloquence above supernatural power, or reasoning above a walk of faith, or laws above love. And I know I've been there for part of my life, just out of a desire, just to grow with God. So I need to take the seed, I need to take what God's revealing to me, and get it into my heart. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked the question. All right. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. Can we do that? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We desperately need revelation, people. Desperately need revelation. I know without it, So what I want to talk on briefly this morning is nurturing the seed of revelation. To nurture means to take care of. It's to encourage the growth of it, the development of it. It's to cherish a hope or a belief. So in Matthew chapter 13, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8, Jesus speaks into this. So in Luke chapter 8, it's about the seed, the parable of the sower. How many of you read that? Or how many of you know about that? Okay. The seed of the sower, where Jesus tells a parable about a farmer that went out and sowed seed. He just liberally threw seed out. And some fell upon the path, and some fell upon very shallow soil, and some fell upon rocky soil, and some fell upon good soil. You with me? Okay. And then in Luke 8 verse 9, it says, disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? He said, the knowledge or the secret or the revelation of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parable. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So now immediately Jesus is saying, all right, that seed is not the logos word, it's the rhema word. It's the word that I speak. It's the word that I reveal. It's the word that I make known to you. That's what it is. The seed is that rhema word, that word that comes alive in you, that word that you phone somebody, that word that you know God has spoken to you, either through the Bible or a prophetic word. That, what it's saying, it's that. Because that's double-edged, that's sharp. That word, folk, please let me, this is very key. You cannot treat that word with everything else that you treat in the world. That has come from God. That is not of this world. That did not originate on the earth. That originated from heaven. It comes from above the earth. It's not contained by the circumstances of the earth. It's not dictated to by the circumstance. It comes from heaven. It has heaven's power. It has heaven's grace. It has heaven's love. It has heaven's strength. It has heaven's encouragement. You with me? And it's like, I picture it in my mind, it's like this thing from outer space coming and it throbs with power and light. And it's coming down, it's coming down. And I've got to get it in here. And when I get it in here, it's still of heaven. It still has heaven's dominance, heaven's power, heaven's life, whatever it is. It's not of this realm. We've got to understand that. That's why we nurture it with care. So it's the word of God. And then he goes and says those along the path and he explains what happens, etc. Then verse 15, he says, but the seed in good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So Jesus is saying three things need to happen, yeah? In order for that which I've spoken to you, that which I've revealed to you, to produce. Because I've given it to you in a seed form. It's not in its fullness. It's not in its harvest form. It's just in a seed form. But if you hear it, you retain it, and you persevere, it will produce. Guaranteed. I shouldn't say that because the Bible says I shouldn't say. You with me? But it will produce. So what it means to hear, what does it mean to hear the word? Simply means we have an attitude of interest, or we have an attitude or a desire to receive or understand. It's an attitude, we pay attention. So to the extent we hear is the way we receive. What do I mean by that? I watch the rugby with Malcolm and Lynn, the girls. I didn't know these girls were such big rugby fans. They seem to know all the players and what's happening. It was wonderful and to hear them. So I can be watching the rugby and I can see the way Scotland played yesterday. Unfortunately, they didn't play very well, but anyway. And I'm watching them play, and then Michelle, who's not a sports fan, is speaking to me. Now I can hear her, but I'm not listening. You know what I'm talking about. I agree with you. An hour later, what did I say? What did you say? I don't know. Because my interest is somewhere else. And sometimes we do that with God. That's all I'm saying. So we got to listen. And sometimes it takes to pull away and just to be quiet and to listen, whatever the case is. I'll use another example. To hear means to receive. It means to with interest. Malcolm and Lynn asked us to come here this weekend, so we arrived here. He picked us up at the airport. He welcomed us. He received us. He brought us to his house. And he made us welcome. That's what it means. Amen. The next thing Jesus says, you got to hear it. Then you got to retain it. What does it mean to retain? Retain means to maintain possession of. It's to hold on firmly. It's to keep with care and interest. Now, how do we do that biblically? How's the greatest way to do that? As far as I am understanding, I'm not saying it's the only way, is through prayer and meditation. Through prayer and meditation. Now, prayer, I'm not going to touch a lot on because you know what prayer is. But meditation. How many of you have ever worried about something? If you don't put your hand up, then I'll say you're lying. Okay. Because we've all worried about something. That means you've meditated. You've just meditated on the wrong thing, that's all. When Michelle and I, before I got saved, her family were involved in a cult. Some of you heard it yesterday. And I got involved in that to please her dad more than anything else because I wanted to go out with her. And I also went to this thing 5 times a week. You're with me? That they gave us meditation. They taught us to empty your mind. That's not biblical meditation. The devil will fill it. Trust me. It was garbage. Biblical meditation is to fill your mind with something. And I'm going to explain how to do that. So there's 3 ways the Bible says that we do biblical meditation. 3 ways. And I've got all the scriptures there. I just don't have time to go through it. The first one is to mutter. To mutter. What does it mean to mutter? This is what it means to mutter. You wake up in the morning. Oh, gee, my back's all sore. Oh, dear. Where's my coffee? Oh, the coffee's cold. Oh, let me kick the dog. Oh, why my head sore? Oh, I didn't sleep well. How many of you do that? We all do. We're muttering. That means just to talk under your breath. Now, the Bible says we need a mutter every day, all the time. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, made this day. Thank you, love me. Thank you, you're on my side. Thank you, God, you've forgiven me. You can do that anywhere, anytime. Nobody can stop you. Bus, toilet, shower, walk-in, shop, work. But you're meditating on God. It's one way. Second way is to muse. What does it mean to muse? Psalms is full of it. Where you go read word, put up meditate and look up Psalms and they're full of it. David continues, says, I meditate on your word. Muse means it's like the cow that takes the cud and chews it and chews it and chews it and chews it and chews it. It's to mull over it. It's to study it. It's to go get a concordance and to look it up. It's to cross-reference. You get every nutrient you can out of it. That's what it means to muse. So if God gives you a scripture, let me use this lady if I can because she won't mind. If I say to her, does God heal? I'm asking you a question.
Yes.
Why?
Because he's God.
Okay, that's fair. Sorry, I'm not trying to be hard. Is it because your dad says so?
No.
No. I like that answer. Not because your dad says so, although he's right what you say. It's because the Bible says so. Now, God reveals that to her. She's got to go and study it up so she can get it in her heart. You with me? Hallelujah. So she can get it inside her, and it takes a while. That's what it means to muse, to get it inside her. The third way is to talk. Use your lips and the tongue that God has given you. Because the tongue is the power of death and life. We know that. That's what the Bible says. Joshua 1:8 says this. God came to Joshua and says, strong, be strong and courageous, be very strong and courageous, my son. Meditate on my law day and night with, I'll leave that word blank, I'll come back to it. Meditate on my law day and night with, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Only then. So the requirement to be prosperous and successful is to meditate on my law day and night with you. And that word is with your mouth. That's what it actually says, with your mouth. Speak it, declare it, sing it. Shout it, speak it, declare it, sing it, shout it, whatever. Let it come out of your mouth. You have to let it come out of your mouth, people. It's paramount. You will only walk into what comes out of your mouth. If you don't speak it, you won't walk into it. If you don't declare it, it doesn't become real in your life. The Bible says this in Romans 8. Romans 10, verse 8 and 9, or 8, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you can believe, and it was your mouth you confess, and you will be saved. That second word, saved, means an ongoing action into something.
That's good.
Not just salvation. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:12, I believe, therefore I spoke. Let me use this example. I need two people. Sorry?
Charles,
why don't you come here? And why don't you come here, young man? Sorry, I don't even
Henry.
Know. If,
who,
Henry, all right, good. Henry, Charles, you stand this side. Henry, you stand this side. Wonderful, all right. This is an Old Testament principle. Jesus spoke about it, Paul spoke about it, and it's this. Every testimony has to be established. Sorry, everything has to be established by the testimony of two or three. Something can only be established by the testimony of two or three. What I mean by that, you just took an offering and said, and he didn't, so I'm just using his example, and he took the offering to the back, and I walked through there, and I saw him taking the money out and putting it in his pocket, and I run back and I say, Malcolm, what's your name again? Sorry?
Charles.
Charles was taking the money, and Malcolm says, well, did anybody else see? No, it's his word against mine. Nothing can be established. You need another testimony. You need another witness. You with me? Very key. You're going to play God?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to play the devil? All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. So God comes to me and to you and to this church. He says, I love you. I've redeemed you. I've forgiven you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. You're going to impact the city. You're going to become Bethsaida to the city. That's what God speaks to me. I say, yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The devil comes to me and says, there, he's doing it well. No, I know what you did. I know you passed. I know you messed up yesterday. I know you didn't quite tell the truth yesterday. I know this about you. I know that about you. That's one testimony. That's one testimony. Whatever I speak is a second testimony. That's what I love in. That's what I live in, even as a Christian. Thank you. That's how powerful it is. That's why what you speak, watch what you speak. I'm encouraging, be careful what you speak. Over yourself, over your family. Amen. During the praise and worship, I had a sense, and I'm just going out on a mirror. I had a sense that the enemy has been active. I don't know if it's in the city. I don't know if it's in Scotland. But I feel like the enemy's been active to put a muzzle on God's people. Because he knows the power of confession. To muzzle God's people. That they won't speak. Even when we went with Malcolm to the city on Friday, just what John Huss did and what he went through, just because he spoke it out. John Knox, sorry. John Huss was also a great guy. Yeah. John Huss was in Germany. John Knox. Even the Covenanters. I don't know about them, to be honest. And then Malcolm showed me there. Those people were not afraid to declare what they believed.
That's right.
And they were persecuted because of it. The devil will get us to shut our mouth as much as he can.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. We have to speak it. Absolutely paramount. Paramount. Because the Bible says the heart, the mouth is the overflow of the heart. If you want to know really what's inside you, and I don't mean this negatively, I just mean it realistically, listen to the way you speak. You'll know what's inside you. Not as a criticism, just a reality check. That's all. Because the heart, the mouth will always speak what's inside. So if you get the word inside, if you get the seed of revelation inside, the heart will speak it automatically. The heart will use the mouth to speak it out, and it'll begin to come out of you. Begin to come out of you. There was a man called Blind Bartimaeus. I was going to preach on that this morning. Blind bottom. He was born blind. There was an incident in the Bible. For 2.5 years, he heard about Jesus. He heard Jesus raise the dead. He heard Jesus fed the 5,000. He heard Jesus walked on water. He heard Jesus did many. And he thought for 2.5 years, if only I can get hold of Jesus, if only I can meet him. So for 2.5 years, that seed of revelation of what Jesus did started to enter into him because he heard about it. That's how we hear. Revelation comes. We hear about it. And it started to filter in him and filter in him. And he's thinking, if only I can meet Jesus. If only I can meet Jesus. And the Bible says one day Jesus walked through Jericho. He's blind. He can't see. Probably hears the commotion. What's happening? What's happening? Well, Jesus has walked by. He could not help himself. The Bible says from he started to shout, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. His friends told him to be quiet because he'll always get opposition, always. His friends told him to be quiet. The Bible says he shouted even louder because it was from the overflow of his heart. For 2.5 years he thought about it. Jesus, yeah, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's like he couldn't contain himself. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. The Bible says he threw his cloak off. And his cloak was his meal ticket. It was his security for the next future. It was his security. He threw it away. He came to Jesus and Jesus asked him a question. What can I do for you? Then he had to say something. I want to see. If Jesus walked in this room today and he's with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he came to my wife and he said, Michelle, what can I do for you today? I know there's something, but I trust there's something in her heart where she'll just speak it out. That's what I'm trusting for. That's what you promised me, Jesus. Or he comes to me and says, Ken, what can I do for you? I'm going to say, actually, hang on. Go to Malcolm. Come back to me. I pray none of us do that. I pray you trust him for something that he's given you. And you, for you personally, or your family, or your church, or whatever. The promises God has given over your church. Sing them. Declare them. The prayer meeting this morning, I think it was you that led the prayer meeting and spoke about prayer. I loved what that lady had to say. I loved what she said. Faith speaks. She mentioned seed. She mentioned faith. She mentioned the Word of God. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So there's a certainty about what we cannot see. The certainty is the promise God has given us. So we speak it out. That's all Abram did. That's all Noah did. Build me an ark. Everybody said, you're crazy. You're crazy. Noah, you're crazy. He started to build the ark. And the Bible says God waited 120 years. God waited patiently. Imagine God waiting patiently. He's a patient God for 120 years. Come on, Noah, hurry up. I'm waiting. But he did it. Abram said, I want to go to a city with his architect and build his God. Leave your family. He did. He went. That's what faith is. Because he heard. See, hearing is the backbone of faith. And then you begin to speak it. And say it. And speak it. Declare your faith. Go on the street. I encourage you. That gentleman there said, when the door opens, begin to share your faith. If you're not too sure, if you're a little bit introverted, and I'm actually an introverted person, just allow God to use your personality the way you were. You don't have to be an extrovert. Just give them a tract or something. Or invite them to church or whatever. But you're declaring your faith. And what happens inside you? You do this. And the seed, you see, when the seed's inside, it begins to do this inside us. It begins to change the way we think. So you've got to hear it. You've got to receive it. You retain it. And then persevere. The last one's to persevere. What it means to persevere? Persevere means to remain up under, bearing up under. It's a patient endurance. There's an endurance. Let me use a simple example. When we first got saved, or when I got saved, because Michelle had been saved here, but when we went into full-time ministry, we believe God spoke to us about the things we watch and the music we listen to. For us. So we made a decision that we wouldn't watch certain music, listen to certain kind of music, and we wouldn't watch certain programs. That was our decision because we believe God said, be careful what you watch. Because garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you let in, comes out of you. You with me? So we had to put some boundaries in our life. They were good boundaries, not boundaries to curb us or boundaries against our freedom. They were actually liberating boundaries. Yeah. It brings freedom into our life. So we decided. So anyway, many years ago, a movie comes on circuit. I love true stories and I love court cases. It's just what I am. I like to watch. So the movie that came on the circuit, and it, in South Africa in those days, they rate them. They still do. I think it was 2 to 16 or 2 to 18, I can't remember. But I really wanted to see it. We didn't have internet in those days, so I'm asking anybody who's seen what's, oh, great movie. I'm thinking, yes, I've got to see it. So I say to Michelle, Monday night we're going to go and see this movie. And she says, what's the age restriction? I say, I think it's 2 to 18. She said, okay. But I can see she's saying okay, but she's not really saying okay, if you understand what I'm saying. But she's just trying to be obedient to her husband in this sense. So we get ready, we go to the movie house, but inside me, there's a tussle going on. Because now I do want to see it, the part of me I want to see, but the other half wants to go with what God had told us. And now I've got this tussle going on inside me. So we get to the window where I'm going to pay the ticket. And I say to the woman, what's this movie like? She said, great movie. Obviously, she's going to say that. So I said, well, is there a lot of, I can't remember whether the question asked whether there's a lot of sex in it or swearing. I can't remember the question. She said, oh, no, not too much. So I think. And as I'm standing there, but I've got this war waging inside me. I said, no, we're not going to go. I just made a decision there and then. And she said, you're not going. I said, no. She said, come on. I said, no, we're not going. I turned around. And as I turned around, the peace of God came over me. Mm-hmm. You with me? Yep. That's what I mean to hold on to that word. Mm-hmm. To hold on to it. Yeah. You've got to have some perseverance. You're going to be challenged in it. I can assure you're going to be challenged in it. But it's going to produce. Now it's going to produce. Because now the opposition's come. And the opposition grows us. If you want to grow this muscle, then it's not as strong as it used to be. I need opposition for this muscle to strengthen. Spiritually, we need opposition to grow spiritually. Now the opposition has come. And I've, by the grace of God, I persevered. And so we grow spiritually. We position ourselves for that seed to come to pass. Because it will. It will produce. Do we have a pregnant lady here? We don't. Have you seen a pregnant lady when she's very pregnant? She walks differently. It's not her fault. Because she's carrying a seed of life. And that seed was given to her through intimacy. Now she's carrying life in her. And as that seed is growing in her, it's changing the physical way she walks. It's even changing some of her desires. She wants to ask chocolate ice cream at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever the case is. She didn't used to like that. Now she wants that. So what changed her? The seed inside is changing her. That's exactly what happens when you allow the seed inside of you to grow. It will change you without you even being aware of it. But it will change you and conform you to the image of Christ. That's how it changes you. You with me? Pregnant lady, when they sit down, and this is, don't disrespect. It's just, they don't sit down like normal people. They sit down like this. Because they're carrying life. It changes everything about them until they produce the life. Amen. Yeah, okay. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Let me finish. I pray this has helped you. We started a church in Virginia. We called it Chesapeake Church. Well, people that were calling us just had to give it a name, and they called it from the area, because there's a Chesapeake Bay nearby. And we were called Chesapeake Church for many years. But everybody that came into the life of our church, every single person said, God has called this church to bring freedom. God has called this church to bring freedom. And then some said in this way or that way. Every single person. It wasn't bar none. Every person. God has called this church. So we became intentional and we changed the name of our church to Free Life Church. We said, let's call ourselves what God calls us.
That's good, Ken. Very good. That's good.
You with me? Yeah. My wife got two prophetic words, three, I think, from three different people. The Lord said to her, I no longer, the Lord said, I no longer call you Michelle, I call you Joy. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. God saying, this is my name for you, Joy. Yeah. That was tested when we went through some tough times. That joy. It was really tested, particularly when our kids were not in a good place, they're in a great place today. She got hold of a book by Charles Haddon Spurgeon called And Speak the Fullness of Joy. Because of what God had said to her. Now we're going through a tough time. Trust me, we wept many nights. Many nights we wept. Many nights, I promise you. But she took hold of that book. I saw it with my own eyes. And she started to read it every day, just a page or two. And even in the tough circumstances, I could see the joy coming back. Because God had said, I call you joy. Amen. Faith speaks or faith does. Faith is never passive. So what's inside you, you'll either speak it or you'll do it. That's what it does. It pushes you into that. All right. Mark chapter 4. He said, this is what a kingdom of God is like. A man, verse 26. Mark 4:26. Man scatters the seed on the ground. Day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. Amazing, eh? All by itself, the soil produces the grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So, for us to produce a harvest, for us to be fruitful, we need seed, time, and the harvest will come. So the farmer sows the seed, he sleeps, he wakes up, he sleeps, he wakes up, but the soil just produces it. Just all by, he doesn't know how, but it does. Get the seed in your heart. You don't know how, but it will produce. It will produce. Amen.